this is unusual. It's almost like you'd have me prophesy a prophecy that has been prophesied. I've so enjoyed and am enjoying a season of my life that I've only had in part before. You can sit or stand, but you're going to be standing in just about 10 seconds. So, but it's a season of pictures. A lot of, and I'm kind of believing that's how the Lord ministered. But to see, and I can tell they're not mine, because they're not coming from a place that I'm trying to formulate them. They appear. And they lead and guide me as much as His voice does these days. So I saw myself praying for the group over there and prophesying over them, and I did. But in essence, the Lord said something like this. This is maybe prophetic as I say it, but move past the present tense place of emotions. Because on the precipice of this place is a place of breakthrough. Move past dryness, emotions, anything that would hold you back. Because there's an anointing for you. It's not just for them, but for you and all of you that are watching. So this is a time, and I'm not just talking about, He's not just talking about this service, but to really press into the Spirit against any kind of dryness and any kind of emotions or any kind of thing that will keep you. Because He's got something really, really wonderful for all of us. Amen. Thank you, Sister Barbara. We exalt you, Jesus. Father, I see the maimed being made whole. I see the blind seeing. I see all things that are possible. We move in these days. Maha, yes, sir. Another picture. What was it? I'll save it. I'll tell you. You'll know in a minute. Hallelujah. Well, I said you'd have to stand, but you may be seated. Everybody but Harry, stay up there if you would, please. Keep playing, Harry, or keep. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Glory. I want to welcome everybody that's here and all those that are online. Please stay with us. Got some wonderful, I know God, I can see in front of us. So thank you so much. I'm coming through the camera in a moment. When we do greet each other, hallelujah. But before I don't want to miss this. This is something real important. Is Harmony here? Harmony, would you please come up here? Now, Harmony just had a birthday Thursday. Does she look like a princess or what? Oh, my God. And if you've ever been around her, she's a comedian. And she don't even try to be. I mean, we had them over to the house, her and her parents over to the house a few months ago. And the kids were playing in my office. It's a real neat place if you're not scared of dead animals. There's tons of mounts in there. And she was just having a time. And I have a gun case, and it's secured over there. And all of the ammo is in a place locked way away where kids can't get it. But I went back there, and I said, they were visitors. And I said politely, I said, now, baby, don't go over there and touch any of those guns. And she goes, those are your guns? I thought they were my guns. I said, Well, I guess we can share them. I don't know. So she's unbelievable. She's so quick on her feet, and she's just a... But this is Harmony. Would you like to sing Happy Birthday to Harmony? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Give him a wave. She's so cute. Happy birthday, dear Harmony. Happy birthday to you. Wow. Hallelujah. Unbelievable. Stay there. Let me make sure everything. I exalt you. Worship with me for just a moment. Exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you. I exalt you. I exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Davy Jean, can you come here? What? This is my, step over here. This is my youngest daughter, Davy Jean Lubin. You can take this. I didn't tell her anything about this because I know if I did. After service, now I've got to go someplace. That's good because she's going to say, Dad, I am going to kill you. I am going to kill you. Just stand right here. Get used to it for just a moment. Okay. Just get used to it. Listen, I'll stand beside you until the anointing comes, and it's already going to fall. And I'll tell you the great thing about the anointing. Once it falls, you forget people. Okay. So I'm so proud of both my daughters. They're just incredible. You've heard from Amber quite a few times from Davy. But they both serve the Lord spirit-filled and serve the Lord, and they help us here at different things in the ministry. But when she was going to Immokalee High School and graduated, but she majored in socialite. She was a social bug. That's all she was. She taught school. She didn't have any idea the school was for anything to do with academics. It was for friends and, you know, having a good time, and those, I'm sorry. But once she got married, I think Watson is the one that just, yes, it's good to see Watson in the house. And kids came along. I'm so proud of her. She started working for Peace Lutheran Academy or daycares. Early Learning Center, and they've just been voted like one of the top.
Yeah, we're in the top three running for Best of Naples. So.
Wonderful. How many years have you been here?
13.
Now you may have to hold it a little closer. Okay. 13 years, and she became one of the most popular teachers in the whole school because I know, you know, parents would line up before, you know, sign up. They all, you know, you go and meet your teachers, and I would always hear that. Teachers would be asking, or parents would be asking for their child to get in her class. And so she became very popular there. And then she began to study through the years, take college courses and go up the ladder and get her degree. And then she just recently went away and got another degree or certificate as a director's.
Director, yeah, the Florida director's credential.
And so now they've asked her to come out of the classrooms into administration, and she prayed about it. Her and her husband prayed about it. They called us and asked us to pray about it. We did for a week or so, and she accepted a lot more responsibility, great pay raise. But she is now the assistant director of that school, which is wonderful. Thanks. That's fantastic. Especially from her high school days. And so this past week, she had the opportunity to, you know, the director asked her to lead or to do the chapel service, which was only their teachers, and I think there was about 30 teachers in there. And she shared, and then she shared with her mom and I. And I'm just going to ask you to share that same testimony. These are the 30 women, or okay. 30 teachers, okay? Don't leave anything out. If you go the rest of the service, we're good with that. So I'm not... There are couples that need to hear this. There's couples watching that need to hear this. There's people in here, all walks, ages, that need to hear this. So, amen. Okay. Would you like Harry to continue to play?
It doesn't matter. I'm yeah. okay.
Play, Harry. Okay. Yeah, that's good. I'm going to sit over there next to
okay.
your mom. Okay.
Okay.
Take your time.
Okay. I did not know he was going to do this. So, I will start with you guys the same way I started with them. I will tell you, I'm nervous. Him talking for a few minutes, my heart rate has gone down. I'm not feeling it in my face anymore, so I think I'm good. Yes, so I started at Peace Early Learning Center in Naples. It's right off of Immokalee Road. If you've ever gone into Naples, you've passed it. We're on the left-hand side. 13 years ago. So I was 22. Josiah was about 7 months old. And at that time, we were living in an apartment off of Green Boulevard over in Golden Gate, and I was driving every day into Estero with my seven-month-old, and it was a drive, and, you know, young mom, young son. So we started thinking, you know, I really wanted something closer to home, so I started praying for something closer. And then one day driving home from here, from church, I saw a sign, and it said Early Learning Center coming soon. And I was like, okay, maybe I'll look into that. So I called. And at the time, they didn't even have a director. And they said, you know, we'll call you, we'll take down your number, we'll call you when we hire a director. So a few weeks later, Miss Cynthia, who was our first director, she called me and she said, you know, she was interested in me coming in. And, you know, so I did. I went in, got hired, and I was there putting together tables in our infant room, you know, before we even started. We were ready to go. We were waiting for our DCF license to come through, and then finally got going. So I started there in our one-year-old class. My only background in childcare was I had taken it in high school, and I liked it. But I had majored in massage therapy. I thought, okay, that's something quick. I can do that. And yeah, that wasn't my thing. So I started working at an early learning center in Estero. And that's how I started, you know, thinking, okay, I like this. So I started Peace Early Learning Center, one-year-old class, stayed there for a while. And that's how I came to, you know, 13 years later, now I'm the director. But when I got up to share with the ladies, Miss Betty, who's my director, she asked me the night before, would you do devotion in the morning? And I was like, okay, I kind of thought it was coming. So I was like, what can I get up there and talk to these ladies about? That they're gonna, you know, some of them are saved. I don't think there's any of them that are, you know, us saved. Like they don't walk the same walk we do, but they know Jesus. So I was like, okay, I know I have to make it light. What can I do? So I said, you know what? I'm just going to share my testimony and how I got to where I was. So I got up there and I just said, you know, you guys know my dad's a pastor and I was raised in church. And you guys all know that. I was raised in this church. I'll talk to you guys like I talk to them. I was raised in this church. For as far back as I can remember, we came to Immokalee. I think I was like 4 or 5 when we first started driving down here, and we moved down here when I was 8. And when I say I was raised in this church, I wasn't just here Sunday mornings. I was here, and you guys will relate, some of you, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Friday night, from the time I can remember until about 15, 16 years old, I discovered Friday night football games. And I really wanted to go to those Friday night football games, so Dad finally gave in and said, that's fine, you can start going to the football games. And then I started discovering that there's a whole other side of town over there, and it's a whole lot more fun than over here. So I started getting sucked in, not fully, but sucked in. You know, we were all teenagers, so I'll leave it at that. Met Watson at 18, got married. At 17 and a half, just before I met Watson, I can't remember what it was for, but it was one of those rebellious evenings, I guess we could call it. And I looked at my dad and I said, I got 6 months and I'm out of here. Cause I didn't realize it at the time, but it was like something that, in the way I described it to them, when I did my testimony was it's like going to Outback and getting a really good steak. And it's really good for a while, but if you have it every single day and you're in it and you wake up in the presence of the Lord and it's in your house and everything that happens is, well, you know, the devil brought it on. And it's like, no, it's like, okay. I was so numb. It was just dull to me. It was just something, it was just a constant. I would listen to others' testimonies and think, well, maybe one day I'll have that aha moment where God just comes in and I'll feel it. And I waited and it just didn't come. And so 17 said I wouldn't do it anymore. I met Watson. About 18 and a half, I had a really close friend. We wanted to get an apartment together. And we were going to move out, and it was going to be here in Immokalee, and shared it with Mom and Dad. And, of course, they were like, you know, you're 18. But then Dad did the logistics of it. And he said, you know, this is what you'd be paying, car payment. You know, you're not living here anymore, so insurance is on you. This is what you'll have in rent. I was already working in Estero at the school I was originally at first. And so then after he showed me all that, like, staying with them didn't look so bad. So I was like, okay, I can stay with them. And so I decided to stay with Mom and Dad. And I just knew, and it was never really said. Maybe it was. I don't ever remember it being said. But I just knew that if I was going to live there, I was going to come to church. And it might not have been Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and Friday night, but it was going to be Sunday morning. So from maybe 18 to 20, you know, I was in here, but I wasn't in here. I sat there every day. I said good morning to every single one of you. And I knew it. I knew what I needed. But and at, you know, the schools I was at, I was Miss Davy. I was, you know, pastor's daughter, good Christian girl. But it just wasn't who I was really. So we got married, and I was 21, he was 24, and then we had Josiah. Fast forward, I found Peace Early Learning Center, started working there, had Drea, became a VPK teacher, started moving up a little bit, and towards the end of 2014 was when I would say I hit my bottom. And the way I described it originally was like, my rock bottom may look way different than your rock bottom. Everybody has a different rock bottom. Mine was, we could barely pay our bills. We were on every public assistance that you could get your hands on. We had two kids. We had decent jobs, but the pay was, you know, it's okay. We're living in Collier County. So like I said, barely could pay our bills. And our marriage was, I mean, that's all it was. It was just a marriage. We loved each other, but it wasn't good on either side. And, you know, people may look up here and say, wow, that's guts to stand up there and say your marriage was trash or your marriage was horrible or you guys just couldn't stand each other at times. But when you become free of all that, you don't care. You can stand and say, yeah, my marriage was not good. It was no bueno. We could not stand each other. We would fight for nothing. Our kids were getting that. You know, they were little at the time, but, you know, it was in the home. So I finally, one night, was laying in bed with Josiah on one side and Dre on the other, and he would sleep on the other side of the house, and I was bawling. And I would sit in church, and I was one of those moms that I would get upset when Dad would say, you got the time to pray. And I'd be like, yeah, buddy, you tell me when. Full-time job, two kids, trying to go to school, tormented in my mind to the point where I would really consider on Friday nights when I would meet them, hopping on 75, tossing my cell phone out the window, and driving until I ran out of gas, and you would have never seen me again. I literally had that in my head. I was like, oh, I can live in the hills of the mountains of Alaska. I got this. Like, I'll be gone. Y'all will never find me. I will be a hippie and just wander around. I was so just tormented. I didn't know what I wanted. And so I prayed, and I just asked God to please just reveal to me just what I needed. And for the first time, I felt the Lord talk to me. And, you know, that's coming from somebody who sat in this church my whole life. I didn't just sit in this church, I lived with them. My sister got married when I was 12. So from 12 to 18, it was us. It was us three. I sat under, I mean, everybody that you look forward to coming here, they slept in the bedroom next to us. You know, I went to their houses. I grew up under their feet. And still, it took me until my adulthood, until my marriage was falling apart, my finances were terrible, my mind was so tormented, to finally hear God and Him tell me, you know, I felt Him, like I said, like you guys know, you don't hear Him with, you hear Him inside. You don't hear Him like, hear Him, you hear Him in your mind. And it was late at night, and I heard Him say, try me for real. Try me not to make Dad happy or make Mom happy or, you know, genuinely try me. So I was like, okay, I will, you know, I'll try. And then, you know, a week or so goes by and I'm like, you know, I decided, okay, we're only going to play Christian radio in the car. And, you know, and that's all we're going to do. Simple change. We're only going to play Christian radio. And so we did. And it changed a little bit. And then I started praying, when do I have the time to pray? Like, God revealed to me my time because I don't have it. Like, I was working 9 to 6 and I had 2 kids. And so finally, I would find myself when I would lay down in bed with the kids, and some of you moms may be able to relate, I would just find myself just praying in tongues. And I would be like, oh, wait, I'm praying in tongues. And then that was God revealing to me, that's your time. And yes, you're being a mom and you're laying down with your babies, but that's your quietness. And that's your, they're going to sleep. And then after they would fall asleep, I would make myself lay there for another 20 minutes or so. And yeah, it might be 11 o'clock because you guys know how it is. You're the first one up and the last one to go to bed. So I would get up and I would finally take my shower of the day. But I did my 30 minutes of prayer time at from 10:30 to 11 o'clock at night. And then I started saying, okay, I really want to read my Bible. I don't have time to read my Bible. And He revealed to me, you have a solid half hour in the middle of nap time when those 18 kids are sleeping. Finish your lesson plan, open your Bible, read it for half an hour. After we started making those little changes and we really had a moment. I mean, I haven't really talked to Watson about this, but I'm sure he doesn't mind me sharing. Yeah, it was late 2014. We had a moment in our marriage where it came to a head and it was either going to last or it wasn't. And he grew up in church just like I did. So we did what we knew to do. We got on our hands and knees in front of our bed in our room and we bawled our eyes out and we said things to each other that, you know, maybe at 17, 18, 19, 20, because we've been together for a while. if those things would have came out before we got married, we probably wouldn't have gotten married. Just because we were both living ugly. We were just, and you know what I mean by ugly. It's not an appearance. It's like, it's you inside. We were both being ugly. But it didn't come out, and I'm thankful because what we wouldn't have had is just over sin, you know. So we had that moment, and ever since then, it's just you're a different person. And I'm sure Dad wanted me to get up and share that because coming from me, somebody that I don't ever get up here. I just don't. I love to be over there with the kids. Everybody has their own ministry, but now I have the opportunity to lead women, to lead. I was over the children now, and when my director came to me originally and asked me if I wanted to come on and join the administration, be the assistant director, it was hard for me because my heart is in the classroom, and I have confidence in myself in the classroom because I know I'm good at it. And I wasn't sure I was going to be good at leading adults. So this past week is what we call Teacher Week, where there's no students in the building. You know, the teachers gutted out their classroom, and we did trainings, and I was part of leading those trainings, and it just, I surprised myself. I called my mom, and I was like, you won't believe how good I did. And people were coming up to me, and they were saying, Davey, I had no idea, you know, that, you know, I knew your dad was a pastor, and I know, but they were like, I just always thought you were just so, like, and I was like, oh, no, no. And it's just, you can be free. What I shared with them was that to tell them, oh, another part of it was one of my past directors, I told them one of my greatest compliments that I ever got was after I started doing all that and things changed with us. I was in our office one day and she looked at me and she said, Miss Davey, you just radiate Jesus. You just shine. And it's just like, oh my gosh, like what better compliment than you radiate Jesus? Like, so that became my confession over myself. Like, I may not have the confidence to walk up to somebody and be like, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Like, you know, but I do have the confidence to be loving and kind and nurturing to people that need it, whether they're little or old. You know, we have teenagers at our job. They're 19, 20 years old, and I can tell that they just have mental torment. And I treat them like they're 10 years old, because some women need that. And for a while, they need to be brought up in that. So I know God has put me in that position to just shine his love and his light in everything that I do. So that's exactly what I'm going to continue to do. They're a Lutheran church. We're a Lutheran school, but I joked when I stood up, I said, y'all about to get preached to today, because, you know, so it's just, it's been great. Geez, like 2014 was 10 years ago. I can't even, it's just two different people, him and I, our kids, our life. It's just two different, they don't even coexist in the same timeline. That's just the past. It's just gone. So I guess that's all. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Oh, no. You need to take this and drop it.
Hallelujah. Just fantastic. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We exalt you. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you. All of that was, every single bit of it was so important for you to hear. But there was one part to me that stood out when she told it the first time to me, and she did just as good this time. That was that apex, that place, that it was the critical mass. Either it was going to work or wasn't going to work. And at that point, you have to make a decision. You're either going to go into God, or you're going to try to meander and pamper the flesh, and that's always a failure. It always. So when her and Watson got alongside their bed and cried out to God, save us, save our marriage, save our finances, save our, and cried their hearts and shared things that only two people in love can share, intimate things. And God changed it from that day on. From that day on, God changed it. Yes, sir. I hurt for people that I see struggle sometimes from time to time. And I try to help them, especially when they're mature people, and they kind of revert back to places. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a hunter. I don't talk much about it because some people are a little sensitive about it. But if you've been to my home, you know I'm a hunter. I've never tried to wound an animal. I always try to dispatch of them immediately when I do what I do. But at times I've had to follow up a blood spore. That's a trail. My dad taught me how to do it. Sometimes it's a long ways through the woods before you find what you've dispatched. Here, and a drop here, a drop there, a drop here. Why are you telling us this? Because you can always tell when somebody, or people, or families, or churches, or individuals you can tell when they're in trouble, and everybody's been in trouble at some point, like emotional or financial or family-wise like they were, and maybe it's several different things. You're in trouble. In other words, you're really going through it, and you don't know if you're going to make it. You only got one of two choices. You're either going to totally sell out to God, totally sell out, or else you're going to try to find excuses and paths of mental ways to settle it, or else you're going to go to that altar, wherever your altar is. It was their bedside. But you can always tell, I can, and I don't say much about it because I don't want to hurt anybody. You can always tell when somebody is hurting because they leave a blood trail. What are you saying, a blood trail? Oh, yeah. Somebody will say, did so-and-so talk to you yet? Or, yeah, I know about it. And then I'll find out from somebody else, did so-and-so, because they were sharing with us, or she was, or he was. In other words, they go from pillar to post trying to find help when really their only help is in God. And they're bleeding all over people and bleeding all over wherever they've been, spewing out their thoughts and their why they can't reconcile things. Paul said, shun profane babblings and wives' fables, but rather exercise thyself unto godliness. What does that have to do with anything? Well, he was writing that to Timothy, who was a born Greek. His dad was a Greek. His mom was a Jewish. But Timothy knew exactly what he was talking about. That he was talking about the Greek, Roman Olympic Games. And he said, Timothy, as a pastor and as a man of God, and this applies to all of us, shun profane babblings and wives' fables. The word fable is the word muthos, which we get our word myth. It's a made up rendition of something that the mind articulates and tries to bring into effect. But rather, exercise is the word gymnazo. It's the word where we get the word gymnasium. And he said, exercise thyself, gymnazo thyself unto godliness. Now, Paul wasn't being perverted or silly here, but he uses the word gymnazo. And if you look it up in Strong's or Thayer's, the first Greek meaning is to exercise unclothed. And what Timothy knew was the picture that everybody that was a Greek knew, that when they went to the palaestra, the place to exercise, and the Greek-Roman wrestlers in Pancras, that they were the fighters and the boxers, they knew this, that if they were going to look on the docket and see who they were supposed to fight, if they couldn't win the fight, they would turn and leave. But if they were going to go in and train and fight, as they went in to the palaestra, they would begin to strip off because they would fight where nothing could be clinched, clothing-wise. And it was that picture that Paul said to Timothy, exercise thyself. In other words, take off everything that could be a hindrance and go into God. If you go into God, here's the secret. It doesn't matter. I don't mind doing a little counseling and sharing. I don't mind you picking my brain. But here, you got to understand something. I do counseling about 3 times a week, every time I stand up here. But the greatest counseling that I can do, or that Homer can do, is to tell you this, exercise thyself, gumnazo thyself unto godliness. Go into him, get beside your bed, wherever, or get beside your altar and say, I'm putting myself totally upon you, Jesus. Absolutely. Unequivocally. I'm giving myself over to you. Don't stop. You're doing good. It's okay. Gumnazo thyself. Exercise thyself. Turn it completely over. You'll bleed all over people. Do you have my answer? No. Then you'll go over and bleed on this one. Do you have the answer I need? No. I can tell you this. Well, that didn't satisfy me. What about you? Do you have the answer? You'll leave a blood trail of every place you go. Trying to find an answer. But I can tell you this. Maybe because of experience. Maybe. When you turn it all over to him. And you completely do what Davy was talking about. It works, doesn't it, Sarah? It works. Something happens. Something changes. Something changes. Why? Because the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with that of whom you have to do. When you go in, excuse me, not being silly here, but would you go in naked before the Lord, you know, clothed, but you're saying, Lord, I'm not going to go bleed on that one anymore or bleed on that one anymore. It's me and you, Jesus. Kill this man. Kill this man. Kill this woman. Strip off from me all things. Then you can know this. You have a high priest. That you can come boldly before the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find help in the time of trouble. Hallelujah. Manda keresete. Yes. Glory to God. Glory to God. You caused all that, Davy. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Manda keresete. No. No. My greatest. Now, all of us, we're all supposed to carry each other's burden in the sense pray for each other. But my greatest desire in this life is to be maintenance free. Maintenance free. I don't have to be. Somebody doesn't have to keep me maintenance. Keep me up. Hallelujah. You don't have to keep me up. I'm gonna do something else for somebody. Mahala solokota. Hallelujah. Oh, he just reminded me. Pastor Rick hears got in touch with me earlier this week. Judy, as it was his wife's in the hospital, was. He got her out, and then late last night he texted me. He said, I think I gotta take her back. Some kind of serious infection. He's really concerned. He said, would your church pray for her? I said, we sure will. Judy hears right now. In the name of Jesus, we speak life to Pastor Hears' wife. Judy Hears, be raised up. We command that any foolishness that Satan would bring to bring death or infection, we command it to come out of her body. In the name of Jesus, Judy, be healed. This hour, be resurrected in life, come out of that hospital, be restored, and whatever this was, no mas, no more, Lord. In Jesus' name, we glorify you. We glorify you. Hallelujah. You won't want to miss the second half of this service. Hallelujah. We've got some good things. I want to show you some things. Hallelujah. But for now, while we greet each other, don't go too far, and you can take some time to greet each other. Somebody tell me where Corey's at. I can't see Corey this morning. My goodness. Can I borrow that for next week? The shirt and the shoes. I can, that way you'll see me, because yeah, we can't see Corey this morning. And I'm going to pray. Why don't you prepare if you've got a gift to give this morning? And online, those of you that give, thank you for your giving. Father, we thank you that Immokalee is born again in this region. We thank you that we have thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of extra dollars that come in to facilitate this outpouring. It's easy for you, Jesus. God, bless the people so that they're blessed, and then out of their blessings, they're able to facilitate this outpouring. We bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Gary and Sue said they got here early so they could get a good seat. That's right. They're sitting right in front of you, man. Gary would be glad to. Yeah, he's a good friend of Gary's and Sue's. And Jim sent us a, man, when he's the text he sent, I should have brought it out, but my God, he blessed this church and filled this place up with glory and presence and I don't know what else. I was like, my God, we'll just read that and we'll just have service. Hallelujah. But so Jim's blessed it and Gary's blessed it and Sue's blessed it and we're all blessed. Hallelujah. Let's all stand, greet one another. If you have something to bring down, do it now and have a good time. Amen. I want you to watch this. Because it has something to do with, you know, what we have to say this morning. This brother, this pastor, you'll see that he's a black pastor, and he is a man, at least on this part. I don't know all of what he teaches. I've done a little research on him. He is a pastor in, I believe, Memphis. Now, it was a few days that it was, I did a brief, Memphis, Tennessee. He graduated from a university there in Tennessee, and he holds a master's degree. He's also a graduate of Rhema Bible College. And so solid, real solid in that sense of the word. So I want you to give a listen. I think it's important. And also, I want to remind everyone that's watching. Now, I've encouraged you to do this, and you don't have to. Many of you just tune in on YouTube. That's fine. Our friends at YouTube, they have algorithms, different things set up that sometimes they don't necessarily like certain words or different things to be said or people's names to be mentioned. Now, we've done our due diligence and we've bought like 3 different licenses to make sure that we're good with everything so that we can show everything. But that doesn't mean that at times we won't be cut off. So that's why we encourage everyone. Now, you can take the chance. I don't think this is only about 6 minutes long. You can take the chance that you won't be cut off in our services, or you can go to Resi, which is our streaming. We pay quite a bit of money every year. See, our streaming is not free. YouTube is, but our streaming is not free. We pay quite a bit of money every year to make sure that we have a secondary streaming. We could just go YouTube, but we'll never do that because we don't know when we may be cut off. But if you go to our website and watch it live stream, you won't be cut off, okay, unless there's a lightning strike or something. But they won't cut us off based on some kind of, you know, algorithm or something. So I would encourage you, that'd probably be the best, or when you, you know, when you're watching and I say there's going to be a film or something, you might say, well, it's possible I could get cut off. You might want to switch over. It doesn't take, but if you're where you're at right now, stay where you're at. Probably it's going to be okay. Tonight, I'll say this, and I've got more to say after this, of course, but we're going to go right back into just prayer. Marty will have some soft music playing for you, not to drown out. You're sitting quietly and praying in tongues, and it's a prayer room. So for an hour and a half, from 6 to 7:30, we'll just be done at 7:30. Come in, sit, and also we'll have the, I call it the Rolodex, or the, you know, it'll be on a loop, our confessions. And if you're wherever you're at in the world or the United States, when it comes to Immokalee, just put your place of where you're at in there. And so while you're sitting here, I encourage everybody to pray in tongues, worship, and then vacillate. You can look up and make some confessions and go right back into worship or make confessions in tongues. Wonderful time to just sit in the presence of the Lord. And the neat thing about it is, the way Harry has it set up now, they'll be able to zoom in on the screen where you'll be able to see the confessions, but also it's going to be a split screen where you'll see the church and you'll be in the church as well, because everybody likes to feel like you're a part of, you know, the church service. So hallelujah. Amen. So come, sit, pray, and help us to pray this revival in. Amen. Praise God. So I'm going to get these lights, and somebody will get those, and you'll get the stage, and let's watch this.
Oh, see, y'all take a stand when you're in church. Oh, here we go. Huh? I love the Lord. He heard my cry. I'm baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues. Yeah, you can do it around everybody else in church because it feels safe. But the issue is, what will you say out in the midst of that world? Will you stand up for Christ when you're out before the world? That's what lets us know where your commitments are. The church is bowing. He'll go to the hard part right here, and I'm finished. But this is the tough part. Y'all ain't gonna like this part. But there are two gods that the black church, and I don't like to say black church because God don't divide his church black and white. We all are part of the church. But I'm saying it to give reference to the African-American churches. Two gods that many are bowing to today, and that's the God of LGBTQ and the God of blackness. People have made a God out of color. In other words, I gotta be with my color. I gotta stand with my color, meaning I'll reject Christ. Color gonna get you in trouble. I'm not saying you don't love your people, but if my people go contrary to my convictions, I can't stand with you. Come on, somebody, say amen. Church is bowing to this LGBTQ thing. Yes, they are. I'm seeing it happen all the time. What they did, here it go, they pushed LGBTQ on black people. And now, in order for you to be in line with black folk, you gotta almost accept LGBTQ. preach Holy Ghost. Here's what hurt me. Now, I'm finna say it, you ain't gonna like it, but I'm giving you truth. When Obama put the colors on the White House, acknowledging this nation honors LGBTQ, I saw black folk and black preachers compromise. We got to accept it because our black president goes along with it. I don't care what president, what color he is. If you ain't in line with God, I can't stand with you. And that's what's causing y'all. Yeah, I'm preaching up in here. You're getting off with God because you're trying to stand with black. I can't vote for a party that is for all kind of sexual perversions. I can't do it. I can't vote for a party that's going to accept transgenders going into women's restrooms. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't go with a party that wants to cut little girls' breasts off to make them boys. I can't go with a party that says you can be a boy today and a girl tomorrow. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't support a party that wants to remove God from its party platform. You in trouble when the nation forgets God. I can't follow a party that wants to sexualize our children in school, put drag queens in front of them, reading them little children's stories. I can't do it. I can't support a party that wants to take the rights of parents away. In California right now, parents are being arrested because they won't go along with the sexualization of their children. But there are many parents that are compromised. Y'all got to make a decision. It's either God or the devil. And when you vote, you try to ignore it and say it ain't no big thing. But when you vote for people with these convictions and they get in office and they start doing these things, you got a responsibility for it. If you've compromised in any way, you need to repent. Stand up on your feet and give God some praise. Come on, give the Lord some.
Yes, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Man, I appreciate that, brother, doing that. You don't think he's not going to get some flack? Man, I love men and women that are not afraid. We got too many cowards. Too many cowards nowadays. Well, I'll beat you up. Well, you're still a coward. I don't care if you can beat me up. You're still a coward. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Many of you get our letters. I hope you read them. I spend hours before God, and Sarah does a great job correcting a lot of stuff and adding a little salt and pepper at times. It's good to have a good editor. Candy gets them out so well. But you can afford them. They're free. Everything on our website is free. Hallelujah. But for those who, all you got to do is send us an email on our website and say,
just add me to your mailing list, and it'll be there. I want to read it again, or for the first time, out loud for you, for those that are watching who this letter has not got in your inbox. It should be in your inbox if it's not. And I'm hoping that you've already read it, but you can read it again with me. But you can listen, just listen. I'm going to see how far I can go without. Sometimes it's best just to read. But God's been stirring me up, and I can't help it. And I've not had anybody in here try to say that I should make apologies for that. But if you did, I'd love you and still keep going forward, just like you said nothing. But God's been stirring me up, and I'm being, by His grace, very faithful to my times of intimacy and seeking God for this outpouring. But He's got a message right now that's close to His heart. And like I said a few weeks ago, with something that I preached on that had something to do with the current events and politics and all those things, I'm not trying to convince you or even anybody watching. That's irrelevant. You're all convinced. You wouldn't be watching this if you weren't. So I'm not just reiterating and reiterating and reiterating just to die it into you. I'm not trying to die anything into your already substance of belief, because I believe it's already where it should be. What He is trying to get from us, and all of us need to hear this, is the seat of authority by which He can do things. I asked Him a while back, and I don't pry so much into this unless He wants me to know certain things. But I said, is it possible? Is it really possible, this reformation? Have we gone to a place? He gave Josiah a window of reformation when he turned to God and he turned the nation, and there was a number of years that there was a reformation, but eventually it went into total judgment, and there was a 70-year judgment. The judgment that the planet is scheduled for is at least 7 years, and it's coming, and it may not even be in my lifetime, but it's coming. But I think it will be in my lifetime. But can we have still a Josiah revival slash, it was not a revival, and it reformed the government? But in the end, Josiah went to the prophet, or he sent his men to the prophet, and it was a prophetess. Jeremiah was already on the planet, but probably had not risen to prominence. And he said, will the Lord accept this? And the Lord said, no, it's been too much. It's been too much. But because you're so repentant, I will give you, and he got 20, 30 years of reformation, but still didn't stay the coming Babylonian conquering of Judah and the 70 years of captivity and a lot of judgment. So I said, Lord, are we even past the Josiah stage? Can we turn this around? And he said, he didn't say it was going to. He said, I would not have put it in your heart to fight if it was not possible. So I'll take that and fight. I'll fight. And the fight is that I'm not going to go pick up a weapon, but I am going to fight with the weapons of my warfare, which are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I'll vote. If I've got some extra, I'll send some extra. But I'll pray, and I'll pray as in what this letter bears out. And I'll just read it for you and then maybe say some more. The title of it was quite a long title. It says, Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And this is our August 2024 letter. Dear friend, or we try to personalize it when we send it out. Candy does a great job. When the Pharisees came to tempt Jesus, they asked him a question. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? They did this by presenting a hypocritical pretense of honoring him. Mark 12, 14 through 17 says, And when they came, and when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny that I may see it. And they brought it, and he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. At that time, the Roman Emperor Caesar represented the totality of civil government. Part of the definition for the word render, according to Thayer's Greek lexicon, means to give back or restore. So we could say that Jesus was saying in part, give back or restore unto Caesar what is Caesar's. It's amazing that even then, Satan was trying to use the argument of church versus state to bring confusion to the truth. Because we have established that Caesar was the government of that time, we will, for the sake of this teaching letter, at times refer to the United States government as Caesar's, as Caesar. Recently, and I conveyed this last week in short, my wife and I were driving home from our granddaughter's birthday party. As we rounded a bend in a back stretch of road, I looked up just in time to see something extremely peculiar taking place. In the opposite two lanes of traffic, a quarter of a mile ahead, was a camper-covered pickup parked, or truck parked, on the side of the road. What looked like teenagers at first were jumping out of the back and running in a line towards the woods. I actually asked my wife, What do you suppose these kids are doing? The closer I got, I realized these were not children, but grown men unloading from the truck that was now pulling away. It took off. They were running towards the woods as if they were escaping and trying not to be seen. All these men appeared to be of Hispanic origin. It took me a few moments to process what I had seen. Why were these grown men running towards a thick wooded forest? Then I realized that this was the process by which the millions of illegal aliens crossing our border were being assimilated into our society. They pay what little money they have to be brought to different places in the United States, only to be dropped off with the hopes of blending into society. Even though most of the border crossing for illegal aliens happens 1,000 miles from where I live, it had made its way next door. I said to my wife that we had just witnessed our first illegal border crossing. I told you that was Helms in LaBelle. I'm sharing this experience only to highlight just one of the multiple atrocities that have come about in America under this present presidential administration. The list is too large to go over regarding the attacks against morality, sanctity of the family, gender refining or redefinition, mutilation of our children, whether born or unborn, and the destruction of a God-birth republic. This is far more than just a leftist, radical, communistic agenda. It is the spirit of Antichrist that has gone out into all the world with a mission to stop the great end-time harvest of billions of souls. The end-time war was prophesied in 1963 by Kenneth E. Hagin. He described seeing a vision of a dark cloud coming across America. When he asked Jesus what this was, he described the following. And he spake unto me and said, Son, this is the darkness of atheistic communism that is sweeping across the nation. Even the minds of men in high places and politicians with great power. Second to the church, Satan considers America as his greatest obstacle in his path to world dominance. For any Christian who believes that a fight in the spirit for the saving of America is not necessary, I can promise you this. What you see on TV that is happening in a state far away will come to the street on which you live if this type of administration is allowed to continue. No matter where you live, red state, blue state, back hills, crowded city, the fight will come someplace close to you. If Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are elected in November, it will be like the Biden administration on steroids. This would be the most radical anti-American, anti-God administration in history. What are we to render to Caesar? What is our responsibility as a praying church? What's our obligation? Donald Trump cannot save America. He does not walk in the spiritual authority to do so. The Republican Party cannot save America. It does not walk in the spiritual authority to do so. Only God, through a spiritual revival, can save America from total destruction. The same praying church that is laser-focused towards revival can also render the benevolence of our spiritual authority to change the course of history. Our benevolence or rendering to President Trump's campaign is to render our authority in the spirit realm against spiritual darkness. We cannot scripturally bind the will of human beings. Neither can God force anyone's will or choice, but we can bind demonic forces that influence the minds of people in their choices. To believe that offering our attention to render our spiritual authority through prayers, confessions, and decrees for an election somehow weakens our laser focus for revival is to grossly miscalculate the power and multiplicity of our Christ-given authority. We are called by God to render our spiritual authority for change. For the Christian who believes that they are so spiritual that political elections should be ignored and only a distraction to their spiritual walk, I would offer this. Please do not become like the sanctimonious priest and Levite in Luke chapter 10. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus said, there was a priest and a Levite that saw a man lying beside the road who had been stripped and beaten by thieves. And yet they passed by on the other side and did nothing. The priest and the Levite symbolized spiritual authority, and yet because of their pious attitude, they did nothing. America has fallen. She's in the ditch, beaten and stripped by thieves. She's bleeding out from the left or from the theft of her Christian birth. And yet she's not dead. The blood-bought church of Jesus Christ can be the Good Samaritan who turns aside to bind up her wounds and pour the oil and the wine for her healing. There are some Christians that believe that our support for former President Trump is blinded by deception. They believe that as the Pied Piper led the children out of the town only to their own destruction, so it will be with those who adamantly support Donald Trump for re-election. There will always be people who blindly follow others, and there's nothing that you and I can do about that. But the praying church sees a man who very clearly has numerous faults and yet without any doubt is God's choice in helping restore America. Donald Trump cannot fix America, but he can be a powerful instrument of God to help restore America. Now, What if in November we lose the White House? What if we lose both houses, or you could say chambers of Congress? What if the worst possible scenario takes place? Then we must remind ourselves that nothing on this planet will stop God's prophesied end time revival. Nothing will stop the harvest of the masses that will come through God's presence with signs and wonders. We will encourage ourselves knowing that the first church was birthed and thrived under a pagan dictator. Signs and wonders flourished under extreme persecution. It was under such persecution that Paul wrote these words in 2 Corinthians. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Christ might be made manifest in our body. I encourage you with all my heart to help Donald J. Trump in the fight for America by rendering your spiritual authority for this campaign, for his campaign. Time is short. By the time you read, or the time I'm reading this letter, there will be less than 90 days before the election. It's 80-something now. I'm enclosing in this letter the 2024 election confessions that God gave me to present in a recent sermon entitled, It's Not Flesh and Blood. It only takes about 2 minutes to speak these out loud. The Lord had me challenge the people to speak these confessions at least one time a day until the election, and I'm challenging you to do the same. please, let's render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Candy and I love you with all our hearts and appreciate your prayers and support for this ministry. I'll see you in the revival. We're going to, in just a few moments, stand and we'll put up the confessions. And I like these confessions. They're not long. I like them because, I mean, it only takes about 2 minutes, really. It's very, I think Jim's going to come out. He had some, and I talked to him the other day. He's revamping them, and I think he's going to come out with some more. I encourage you to add those to whatever he comes out with. But I like these also because they're really short, and you can do them two or three times a day. And sometimes if you get a whole lot, sometimes you have a harder time getting it done. I'm not saying this to scare anyone or this is a fight. And when I concluded, when the Holy Spirit had me conclude the worst case scenarios, the faith, spiritual side of me says, I'm going to stand and we're going to see this and we conclude with, we will win. But what is a fight? A fight is something that, if it's a fight, then it really can go either way. And you can say the polls that say that it's even now, and then some polls say she's ahead, and some polls say that he's still got some leverage in the swing states, and I'm not going to argue all that. He does still in some swing states, and but it's changed. It's changed dramatically. It'll change again this next week when they have their convention. She'll get another bump. It's possible the polls will say that she's well ahead of him. But that's okay. We got to keep fighting. Michael Dukakis was 17 points ahead. At this point in September, whatever year he ran against, what was it, Reagan? And God changed the whole thing around. He changed it in a debate, I believe. And I think Reagan won by 8 points or something. But it's a fight. So in the natural, we don't have a guarantee. But let's fight. Because this is more than possible through Christ. Hallelujah. We're going to win. We're going to win. We're going to win in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And it's very important that we win for our sons and our daughters. It really is. How's everybody on air? Good? I should have been a polar bear. I'd have loved to have pastored in Alaska. I think it's the all the protein I eat and drink. It keeps you hot all the time. So, what if, Pastor? Well, I can tell you this. We're going to have our revival no matter. Hallelujah. Revival, and it's going to change things in and of itself. Even if all three branches were against us of government, but what would happen to the nation? I can't answer that. I don't know that. I know we got to do some confessions, but we got time. We got 12, 13 minutes. A friend of mine, I went to Bible college with, real close. We haven't seen each other in years, but we were then, I would say. And he lived in Tennessee, and we lifted together in the gym there. And he was single. Candy had fixed him supper. I'd have him over to the apartment. And so we got to be real close. And then after college, he left about the halftime, about 2 years in, and I think he went to another school and graduated from there. But he, incredible man of God, and I'm saying all these things to not build him up or not build up that I've got this relationship, but to preface, to kind of lay a groundwork that this guy's not a flake. I would call him a prophet, but I would call him really a seer. And he doesn't make much of that, although he's very well traveled, numerous books, has co-authored, co-founded one of the biggest ministries in the nation. And I didn't even know it until later, because that's how humble he is. He's got a church in Tennessee, well larger than this church, but that's, you know, I'm just saying God's blessed him and God's blessed us. And we stay in contact. He always thanks me that I brought him home. We would bring him from college when we'd have breaks like Thanksgiving and Christmas or whatever. He couldn't afford to go home to Tennessee. And so I'd say, get in the car with us. And mom and dad, we would go stay with him. I said, they got a big house, and we'll find a room for you. And so he would get in the car, we'd come home, and he'd spend that few days with us. And he always thanked me. You know, he called me Gary. Now, y'all don't know who Gary is, but that is my given name, okay? And he still calls me Gary. And so he went on, I didn't know. He got married, him and his wife. They had three boys and two girls, and they're in the ministry with him. They're in Tennessee. And he's a seer. And every once in a while, we'll just talk. And he loves this nation. Incredible patriot. Incredible. And he doesn't make much of it, but we were talking. He called me the other day, or I called him. I can't remember. It was about 2 months ago. And I'm just telling you this because we're in troublesome times. But how many are big enough to understand? And he didn't tell me. He'd know where. I've got to be careful about this because I didn't really have permission to say, but he didn't say, don't say. And I'll leave out. I will edit. So we were talking about the nation, and he really is a seer, but he wasn't saying this is going to happen. He said, in other words, from what I was understanding, this was possible. So he was talking to me, and he was describing this vision that he had. I mean, he started crying, and he's not an emotional guy. He started crying, then he got me crying. Talking about it, because I could, the spirit, you know, I could just feel the presence of God, and I was touched, and he was touched, and we were talking. But he said, I saw in this vision a republic come out of the republic. He said, I saw like a 30-state republic, and he's not saying that's what's going to happen. Please don't come out of here and say, Pastor says there's going to be a change in our nation. But you got to understand what we're living in. If things go, I think some people have been turned off from in the past and have stopped listening to me because they thought I was kind of some kind of militaristic kind of guy. I'm never about let's take up arms or anything like that. My arms are for sports shooting and hunting and those kinds of things. But I will tell you this, the Second Amendment was written, now if you just go back and study it, I'm not saying anything, it was written, we're still the greatest nation on the planet, and that's not arrogance. When those forefathers wrote that, they looked ahead hundreds of years, and one of the reasons why, you can tell in their wording and everything, and the way they wrote it, They wrote it so that the public, the people, could bear arms for safety. That if there ever was some kind of totalitarian government that came and usurped the authority of the people, that the people would still have a right to protect themselves. He said, I saw a third, like a republic come out of a republic, but he said that republic was so unified. So unified. He was so unified. And well, you say, how could that happen? How could a republic, I'll leave that to you, and I'm not saying that's going to happen. What? How would that happen? Well, I won't go into the other things that he said, and he did get too crazy. But we need to pray for our nation. Amen. We really do. Because we don't think, we just think as modern people, we don't think that'll never happen again. That'll never happen again. I was born in 1960. You can figure out how old I am. 100 years after the beginning of the American Civil War. 100 years isn't long. That isn't long. I used to go over to my papa. We called him Papa Flint. He lived right next door to us. And I remember he'd sit in there and play his mouth harp, his harmonica, in the front room. Papa would play. Papa was born in, and I remember him quite well, but Papa was born in 1900. 1898. So if he was born, if he was born in 1900, which he's born in 1898, but he was born in 19, if he was born in 1900, he was only, the Civil War only ended only 35 years from the time he was born. Now back up, only 33 years. In other words, I knew a man that was my papa that was only 33 years removed from the first, maybe I shouldn't say the first, or our Civil War. Don't think it can't happen again. No, that'll never happen again. I pray to God not. Because the loss of life would be unimaginable. So we have something to pray for and stand for. As emissaries of peace, as those who carry a banner of love and life, what do we render? We render our authority for change, spiritual change. Demonic spirits affect the minds of people. It's close. Somebody said, I don't believe the polls. No, it's close. Why is it close? Because there's a lot of demented people out there. I know you and you know me and we know a lot of all the people we know are sane. But it says that God, why would people even vote that way? I can tell you why. Because there's a cloud over their minds. The God of this world has captivated their minds. That's why they vote that way. They've been tortured for the last 4 years, and yet they'll say, torture me again. I don't get it. It's because demonic forces. Let's all stand. Let's pray this prayer together, speak these things together. How many are glad you are in the house of God today?
Amen.
You don't just get, you get roast beef and you get your vegetables. God, not me. And then we give you a big old ice cream sundae with, you know, the whipped cream and a big cherry on top. You get everything. Hallelujah. We got three or four sermons. Davey preached one. I've preached one. Now we're doing a political rally. Hallelujah. When Ron DeSantis gets done, I'm running for Florida governor. I just wanted to let you know. I'm just kidding. Thank you. All right. Can we get these up here? Man, I'm warm. I don't know why I'm so warm up here. Let's speak these together once we get them. Father, come on. We thank you that according to your word, we take the privilege of binding and loosing principalities and powers and all demonic forces. Therefore, we speak directly to all demonic powers that have been set over November's presidential election. We declare that you are bound in your influence over the minds of people in their voting choices. We bind you by the word of God that declares to Psalms 149, 8, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Psalms 149, 9, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Here is the judgment written. Matthew 16:19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We declare the enemy's camp filled with mass confusion, as it was in the days of Gideon, when the Lord turned the Midianites against themselves so that they destroyed themselves. So let the plans of the enemy be. Father, we pray that as it was in the days of King Jehoshaphat, that as the people began to sing and praise and say, the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever, that you will turn our praise into weapons against our spiritual enemies, and they will turn on one another and destroy one another. As it was in the days of Moses, when Miriam sang and danced before the Lord and sang the song of Miriam, the horse and the rider has he thrown into the sea. So we declare as our praise, excuse me, as destruction against the enemy, America will have a revival. America will be saved. We will win in November, and we declare this all in the name above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody said, well, that took more than 2 minutes. I know, because that's kind of slower than what you can read and say yourself. Hallelujah. Did you have a good time? Amen. I love you all. Greet each other as you leave today. Have a great week. Amen. Blessings. Kids are going back to school this week. Pray for all our kids.